Hello and welcome to Great British Sewing Bee with me, Rob.
And me, Sean.
As always, got to do our little disclaimer. We are not associated with the BBC, with Love Production, or with Great British Sewing Bee. This is just a personal podcast where we share our opinions about the show. Right, week four, use, reuse, recycle. What did you think, Sean, about the episode?
I loved this one. I mean, it was a good one, and I felt a lot of people did pretty well on it. Some people maybe gave themselves a little bit more to do than they actually had time for, but I thought this was a really good one. I mean, I am really getting into my whole reduce, reuse, recycle, and yeah, I loved it. I thought this was a brilliant episode.
You've been making quite a few kimonos, haven't you, from old...
I have old duvets, particularly ones that I really just absolutely adored the pattern of. And I just hated to see them go into the bin. I just wanted them to be reused. So, yeah, I had a really nice... I don't know why I did it, because I don't like being warm when I'm asleep, but I got a brushed cotton tartan duvet set, which I probably had on my bed for all of 3 nights, and then went, no, sod this, I'm going to cook myself in my sleep. So yeah, I turned that into a kimono and then made loads of pin cushions and stuff from it, used my scraps to do self-covered buttons. So yeah, there's so much you can do, and it was just nice to see fabrics being reused, and I think more people need to do it.
Definitely. I think it's a really, really important theme. And I really like that Sewing Bee spends a week every year now doing this and looking at how you can use, you know, unwanted fabrics, unwanted garments, because I think there really has to be a movement going forward to do slow fashion rather than fast fashion. Yeah. And repair clothes rather than just throw them in the bin and take those old duvets and those, you know, old towels and fabric that you've got that might end up in landfill and give it a new life and change it into something new. And I think there's so much stuff you can do. There's so much stuff on the internet now that you can research into. It's amazing to see all the kind of stuff. And I love that they really channeled it on lots of different ways in the episode. And we'll talk about that as we go through. But I think it is a really important thing.
But it's not just the whole environmental factor, but it's also giving appreciation back to the art form of garment making. Fast fashion has got people believing that you can make someone a full dance leotard in 3 days without fittings, fully rhinestoned, or make someone a shirt within 24 hours, which, yeah, probably can be done. But that's if that person has no life and doesn't have other commitments and doesn't have a job. And so, yeah, I think it's really important, because it's giving power back to those that are skilled to do garment making, and it gives that appreciation back. And I think that's one of the most toxic things fast fashion has done, apart from polluting the environment. It's actually taken the art form and the appreciation away from those creative people.
Definitely. I would second that and say that, you know, companies, I won't name names, but they rhyme with Winemark, have really ruined people's understanding of how much clothes should really cost. Mm-hmm. Because they're buying T-shirts from Bangladesh and they're buying them for literally pennies, because they're buying 50,000 in a go or 250,000 in a go from sometimes questionable environments and factories. Yeah. They don't realize that actually to make a garment takes hours, and it takes experience, and it takes knowledge and energy. And I know a lot of friends who sew, and I've been asked as well in the past. I rarely sew for other people, mostly just myself and the husband and some family members. But when people have said to me, oh, could you make me a shirt? And then when you tell them how much the fabric's going to cost and how many hours it's going to take, and you kind of quote them a price, and they said, oh, yeah, but I could go to a high street store and get a shirt for like £12 and I can't even buy the fabric to make the shirt for 12. Yeah. It's crazy. So it is a such an important point here, and there's loads of resources out there if people want to look into it more. But we should get on with...
Yes, we should, because we could talk about that all day, about people not showing any appreciation or understanding of garment construction and the costs behind it.
So the pattern challenge was a quilted jacket from 96 squares of fabric. It had a patchwork front and sleeves. It was lined and then had a back panel that was just a regular fabric. And they had 4 hours and 15 minutes to do this. I thought it was a great challenge. Patchwork is super on trend at the moment. You're seeing it all over catwalks. You're seeing it in high street. It's a great way of using up random scraps.
Yep.
I'm definitely going to... I haven't done patchworking and quilting before, and I'm definitely going to give it a go. I have designed fabric online for Spoonflower, and before you can sew any fabric on there, you have to get approval samples. And I'm sat at the moment in my sewing room looking at a mountain of approval samples, which are about 8 inches by 8 inches. And I have no idea what to do with them. So I think now I'm going to start making some kind of patchwork.
Well, I'm just going to put it out there. You've already started copying me, because every time I buy a pattern that you designed from Spoonflowers, I cut out a square and I've started making myself a blanket.
Aww.
Because I absolutely love it. But yes, this challenge I thought was brilliant. I thought it was a bit harsh with the amount of squares they wanted used, but obviously it's what you needed to make that jacket. But I thought it was a really, really cute idea, and I felt really inspired. Like, I want to make myself a patchwork bomber jacket now.
Oh yeah, that'd be really
cool. I think that would, or do a like a denim jacket with patchwork sleeves.
Oh, that'd be cute. Or like a denim jacket where like the back panel is patchwork or something.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So I felt really, really inspired by this, but and I thought they all did really, really well. And I like the fact that Sewing Bee prepared their scraps, they organized it, so everything was by color. So I thought it was nice, it saved them a bit of time not having to cut out all the squares themselves. And yeah, and I love the fact that they were using scraps from previous challenges that were found in the sewing room. Yeah, I really like this. This was a cute challenge. And yeah, I think the majority of the people did really, really well on this.
Now, before we start talking about the people, they fell into two camps here. You had a camp of people who chose the patchworks and put them down in a completely random fashion. And then you had a group of people who were carefully organizing it into either diagonal lines or ombre or mirroring, so both sides of the garments were the same. Now, if you were in this challenge, what would you do? Would you be a random or would you be an organizing?
I'll let you guess.
Oh, I think you might be an organizing.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Rob, that you think I've got the attention span to organize stuff. No, I would be on camp randomize the hell out of it. I mean, I would try to get a bit of a pattern, but I would not have the attention span to mirror that thing. And knowing my luck, I'd spend so much time trying to mirror it that I'd end up putting one patch upside down.
Yeah, well, this was the thing. I would also be in team random, because when I saw that they had 96 squares and started to see people laying them out in careful orders, I screamed at the TV, just start sewing, because they had so much just manual sewing to do to get together before they even started making the jacket, that I was just thinking, don't waste your time laying them out, just go for it and get the jacket made. Yeah, I definitely would have been team random.
I think also with this is, depending on how you laid it out as well, could affect how the garment actually looked. Whereas I think if you just go random, it's just going to have an ordinary shape to it. But if you chevroned it, or if you had it like you could make someone look a little bit bigger, you could make someone look skinnier. There's things you could do with the optical illusions, with, because it's like they say, when you cut garments, if you cut garments in certain shapes and sew them in certain ways, that it can create this slimming or widening effect. But yeah, I would have just been team random. Just get those bits sewn. I don't care what order they're going in, as long as they're all the right way around.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I was at home on, you know, a Sunday afternoon, I had all day to do it. Yeah, sure, maybe I'd lay them out all over the floor and I'd, you know, create nice patterns or something. But if you've got a camera pointing at you and someone saying you've got 4 hours, 15 minutes, definitely I would get going.
So also, you fall into that trap of then going into too great a detail with organising it.
Mm.
And I think you'd end up getting stuck in that bit of, oh, actually, I don't like that there, but now I've got to change it from that bit. And yeah, so just keep it simple. Random the hell out of it.
Yeah. So starting at the bottom, we had Steve, who used pale blues, really light blues. He had a lot of issues here. He wasn't finished. There was really messy binding. There were just problems on top of problems.
His patchwork was great. His quilting was poor. His binding was bad. And it was just unfinished. And you know what? It really broke my heart, because I really, really like Steve. I like seeing guys on Sewing Bee, especially straight guys, because I think it's really nice to see straight guys kind of breaking those gender norms that sewing is just for gay men and women. And yeah, I really, really like Steve, and this just broke my heart. But like he said, he was a lockdown sewer. He's been sewing for what, like a year, and I think he's done very well to get on the Sewing Bee. But yeah, this was just a hot mess.
I think maybe possibly even less than a year, because I think at one point he said that 9 months ago he'd never even really sewn much. So he did, like, he's done amazingly well too. Yeah. Like, God, if I'd have looked at some of the stuff I was sewing after 9 months, I would shudder. And it was just really, I think, some issues with time management here as well. He fell in the camp of organizing and tried to be very perfectionist in the way that he was laying out the squares, and then just didn't quite get enough time to finish the garment. So moving on to number eight, we've got Manu, who used pastels and a pink kind of binding. And the jacket was okay, but it was messy, and there were some issues with the binding on the inside of the jacket.
I mean, the binding was just, it was messy all the way around, but there was just that one corner that looked like it had been chewed up by the sewing machine. And this was another one that broke my heart, because, I mean, Manu's been in my top three since day one. And it was really sad to see her at the bottom of the list. It was cute. The patchwork looked really, really good, but it was just her finishing. And I think this one, there were so many people that did so well that it really came down to those teeny tiny little details.
Yeah, I really liked Manu's, like, the pastel patchwork that she did. And I think that her main issue, and which she kind of admitted early on in the challenge, that it was too much procrastination, where she was laying out panels and then moving them around and moving them around and not deciding, and then looking up and seeing that everybody had already done theirs and were on to the next stage, and she was still kind of making her mind up. So I think if you know that you're a bit of a procrastinator, then you need to work even faster. So, you know, not spend too long thinking about those decisions and think about it, the jacket as a whole.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely a shame, because she's incredibly talented sewer. But I think this was just a little hiccup for her, to be honest.
Oh, definitely.
So moving on to number seven, we've got Angela, who had used blues and had arranged the patches so it mirrored either side of the front of the jacket. as she had a few binding issues at the corners. Again, was another one on the camp organizing and putting the patches down in certain orders and then realizing accidentally had sewn the wrong one and unpicking and resewing. And I think you can really see that the bottom group are all the ones that were spending too long trying to decide where to put the squares.
Definitely. I mean, her patchwork looked really, really good until they showed you that clip of the sleeve. And then there was just those couple of squares that were just off from everything else. And it was gutting because I thought if anyone's going to do really well on this challenge, it was going to be Angela. I felt bad for her, but you know what? She seems so happy doing her quilting that I just kind of thought, you know what? At least you had fun doing it. Everyone else was a little bit stressed out, but you seemed to be in your absolute element. But you just got a little bit too distracted and didn't give yourself enough time to do the binding properly. But she seemed happy. It looked cute. Yeah, she just needed an extra half hour.
Yeah, I think she was having a great old time. You know, she was probably wanting to be sat there with a cup of tea and a biscuit doing
that. I mean, who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be happy with a cup of tea and a biscuit while sewing?
I hope that she maybe gives the jacket another go and, spends a nice Sunday afternoon doing it and not rushed because, I think she would produce something that was really fantastic if she wasn't under the time constraints. And actually, talking about that pattern, I read that this pattern is in the new Sewing Bee book, I believe. So if people want to give it a go, I believe it's the new one with Patrick and Esme on the front, which I think is written by Juliet from previous series, from a few series ago. Don't quote me on that, but I read a comment on one of the Sewing Bee groups on Facebook where somebody had said that it's in that book. Actually, my sister's got a book, so I may have a little look. Maybe I'll even attempt one.
Sounds good.
So moving to the top three, top three, we've got Jill, who used like blue and kind of like multicolored patchwork, and I thought it was really nice. I thought it was a really cute jacket.
I really, really like this. I thought it was a beautiful colour, but again, she was one of those ones that just got a little bit, she struggled with the bias binding. There were just a couple of little messy areas on it, but I thought she did really, really well. I really, really like Jill. I think she's a fantastic sewer. I'm really enjoying watching her Sewing Bee journey. I really want to see this woman go very, very far in the competition. Just another one. It was just her corners that were a little bit messy, but I'd never heard of a mitered edge before. I mean, I had to Google it whilst I was doing my notes. I had no idea what they were talking about, but yeah, fingers crossed if I ever end up on Sewing Bee, that week doesn't come up.
Yeah, it's so weird because I had seen a mitered corner done actually only a couple of weeks ago on Instagram. There's an account that I follow that posts these crazy little like 10-second reels of people sewing and like sewing hacks. And they'd done a mitered corner on that. And I thought, oh, that looks quite neat and cute. I was like, oh, I must give that a go. And then it turned up on Sewing Bee. And I really do actually want to give this a go and try it because it looks like quite a handy skill to be able to do.
Definitely.
I think most people really struggled with the mitered corner and that binding.
I mean, I would have been looking up a YouTube tutorial trying to.
I think they might have taken your phone off you, Sean.
I'm sure we'll find a way.
So, second place, we've got Brogan, and she had just done the most amazing patchwork. It was in red, blue, and green. It had lots of fruit on it. It was so super cute. It was really neat. I thought it was so fashionable. It was very, to me, it was very her. Like, I could see her
wearing it. Oh, God, yes. It had Brogan written all over it. It was yeah, if you couldn't make an, I mean, if she could add puff sleeves to that jacket, she would have. It's like, this was a another Brogan challenge. Those prints, I love the fact that, even though I thought it was a little bit cheeky to begin with, because she was taking patches out of another jar, and I thought, hang on a minute, what if someone else wants that jar? But then I realized that what she was trying to do was get all the berry prints. So she had cherries and strawberries, and then combine that with everything else. And I thought, you know what? That's dead cute. She did really well. I thought this was adorable. I really thought this was so, so cute.
Me too. I'm a little obsessed with that jacket. It was just so cute.
It was just a shame about that one corner. That one corner she forgot about, and then all the others were perfect. It was just that one corner, and that was the thing that stopped her from getting first.
Yeah, so first place, we've got Deborah. She used all pink tones with, like, it looked like kind of a pale blue, baby blue binding around. Yep. And, I mean, it looked amazingly neat. It looked like something you could buy. It was incredible.
I loved the little interaction between her and Patrick when he said, he went to go say, oh, I never imagined you. He was saying how fun it was, and then went to go say, I never imagined you as pink. And she thought she was about to say, I never imagined you as fun. It was like, I kind of saw it happening. I was going, oh my God, is he going to insult her on sewing bee? And was like, oh, okay, no, it's fine. False alarm. Patrick is not slagging off the first place, so telling her that she's boring. But yeah, I thought she did very, very well. She deserved first place on this. But I think if it wasn't for Brogan messing up that corner, I think Brogan would have stolen first place again. But yeah, I thought it was cute. It was very well done. I tip my hat off to all of the sewers in this, because this was a challenge and a half.
Yeah, it really was. I'd like to do a special honorary mention to Annie, who had done a red and black patchwork top with black binding. And I thought, oh, it also had red top stitching, so quilting. And I thought this was so chic and so like Chanel.
Mm-hmm.
I was really just in love with it. I thought it was amazing. It was a shame that the edges weren't amazing, but
yeah,
I thought that the general look of it was outstanding. I thought it was really, and she didn't measure her quilting, she did it by eye, and it looked dead on.
It was fantastic. I mean, that is a skill, to be able to quilt and do it by eye and make it look that accurate. It was brilliant. She definitely deserves a shout out. It's yeah, and to be honest, I understood why she ended up in fifth place, but I kind of felt like she should have maybe been pushed up a little bit higher. But that was just me going, I really loved the rest of it. The judges obviously looked and went, you didn't do the mitered edges like we asked for.
Yeah. And also, before we move on, there is one other thing I'd like to say. I was looking on Instagram, and Christian had redone his jacket. He made himself one of these quilted jackets.
Ooh.
And it is absolutely awesome. I love it. I think it looks really, really cute on him. And I was looking at it thinking, oh, maybe I need to do one. I think he's a bit taller and fitter than me, but I was like, oh, that looks really cool, maybe I should give that a go as well. So
I think I definitely want to do myself a patchwork jacket, or have a jacket with patchwork elements.
But yeah, if anybody wants to check out Christian's Instagram, and you can see his new patchwork jacket. So that was challenge one.
Yeah.
Moving on to the transformation challenge, which was to produce a stylish wearable coat using two coats, to deconstruct them and use features and elements from both original coats. Now, I thought this was a very difficult transformation challenge, and this would probably be my worst nightmare, to be honest.
I liked it, but I won't lie, I was a little bit confused by it at first. So I watched it, I was trying to take my notes, and I kind of missed the introduction bit. So I knew it's you needed two coats, but I kind of missed what it was they were supposed to be making. And then I'm sat there watching it going, hang on a minute, they're just making a coat. Like, you had two coats, now you made one coat. I'm a bit confused. Why are we turning two coats into one? And so I'd literally written down overcoat to coat. A bit confused, but yeah. Then rewatched it about five times again, and yeah, it made a bit more sense. But yeah, this was a mean one. I like the challenges where they like you to have the features of the jackets rather than making something super, super brand new. But yeah, it was a mean one, but I have to say some of the transformations I really enjoyed.
Okay, well, let's get into it. I just thought though, having to deconstruct a jacket, a lot of them were lined, a lot of them were thick material, denims and cords and wools. I just thought, oh God, this is really tricky. And it's also quite prescriptive to have to say you have to make a jacket from these jackets. You can't even kind of let your mind go crazy and come up with, like loads of different ideas. You really have to kind of stick to the brief that they've given. So, starting at the bottom, we have Deborah, who produced a neon yellowy green and purple cape, which was a little bit of an odd shape and didn't have enough of the features from the original coats. They felt that it was more kind of like a new creation. A bit of a jump from Deborah to go to first to last here.
That was a bit of a jump, wasn't it? It's yeah, I mean, she took a risk, and you have to appreciate it when a sewer goes, I'm gonna take a risk, and she accepted that her risk didn't pay off in this situation. Yeah, it was an interesting shape. It wasn't very flattering, but also looked a little bit snug. I was getting more straight jacket vibe rather than cape. At least with a cape, it needs to have a bit of room to move your arms around in. But
Yeah, there was something weird going on around the neck area. Like, there was something really weird going on there. I think that's probably all we need to say about that one.
Let's leave that one there and move on to the next one.
So, number eight was Marnie, who had produced a pink cord and camo jacket. I think it looked really cute on Esme, actually. I was loving that. I thought that generally it looked really cute, although it didn't fit the mannequin. But oh well, maybe it was a kid's jacket or something, or smaller person's jacket. It just, I thought it was a lot better than they rated it.
Yeah, I completely I have in big capital letters, eighth place, really. I thought this was really, really good. At the end of the day, she produced a jacket from two jackets, which is what they asked for. Yes, it was a little snug. Yes, it didn't quite fit the mannequin. Get the person a smaller mannequin. I thought this was really, really cute. The camo, the pink. Yeah, I felt like they were really harsh on her. But then, when you looked at what everyone else produced, I think it really came down to those really fine details because everyone else did such a good job and their jackets fitted. And I think that was really what they marked on was the fact that we gave you a mannequin, your jacket doesn't fit, it's really good, but this is where it's going to end up.
Yeah, so maybe she just didn't have enough. Maybe the two jackets that she grabbed were quite small sizes, and although they went really well together, maybe she just didn't have enough fabric to extend the size and make it large enough to fit the mannequin. But I thought it was I thought that it was very commercial looking. I could definitely see people wearing that coat, whereas couple of the other coats, I thought, I'm not sure if anyone would want
Like that. But then I suppose with Transformation, they, even though they said they wanted it to be a coat with the features of both coats in it, I think they wanted something a bit more creative. And admittedly, hers did look quite commercial, whereas others did kind of come off a bit more high end. But I don't know, it was a hard one. I did feel a bit bad for her. And like I said, my note said 8th place, really? ?
Yeah. So 7th place, we had Steve, who had produced an army green and contrast pink coat. There was something weird happening with the waistband. I couldn't quite work out what was going on there.
I think he just ran out of fabric or had cut it just a little bit too short, so had to put that extra panel in. Again, it wasn't a bad one. I do kind of feel like Marnie should have come out on top a little bit with this one. But yeah, I mean, he tried hard. It didn't quite work out as well as I think he hoped. But I did love his little kind of describing his inspiration for the jacket. And he said, he said, the pink in the army, that's me, because I'm this. And then he was like, oh, and I'm Elle Woods from Legally Blonde. I was like, yeah. That just made me smile, because I was just like, yeah, good old Elle Woods.
I really like the contrast of the pink buttons on that kind of army green. I did think that was quite cute. And it's not something that I would have put together myself, but I thought was quite an inspired pairing there from those. So moving on to 3rd place. So let's have a look at the top. So we've got Brogan, who produced, it was like a black and white gingham and pink, with a puff sleeve, surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
And she'd made a little belt for it. It was very cute. It was very Brogan. I could see her wearing it. It was super chic and adorable. I don't really have any more words for it.
I think she blended the two coats really, really well. So looked like that jacket was always that way. She'd put so much detail into it. She added the peplum. Yeah, I think she did really, really well on this one. I do worry sometimes that Brogan's in a little Brogan bubble, because I just worry that we're going to get to a point where the judge is going to go, oh, Brogan, another puff sleeve. Oh, another gingham outfit. Okay, again. I would like to see Brogan branching out a little bit more and doing something that isn't typical Brogan, but I can't fault her sewing. Her sewing is brilliant. It really is fantastic.
Well, let's see what she does next week, because it's like Spooky Halloween Challenge. Mm-hmm. And maybe she'll produce like a goth
gingham puff sleeve dress.
No, there'll be no, it'll be leather and gothy with chains, and there won't be a puff sleeve in sight.
I will hold you to that. But I can't help but feel she'll manage to worm in a puff sleeve somewhere.
Maybe we should do a drinking game, and every time Brogan does a puff sleeve, we should have to down our drinks.
We'd be drunk before the end of the bloody episode. I think that's quite a dangerous drinking game to do, to be honest.
I might do that next week just for fun.
Or just every time she says the word puff sleeve.
Yeah.
Every time the word puff sleeve is mentioned, you take a drink.
Oh, God, yeah, you would be pretty drunk by the end of the episode.
Yeah, you really would be.
So, in 2nd place, we have Annie, who had produced a leopard and red cape. It had black trims. It looked very fashionable. It was a really nice shape. I thought it was super cute. Really great. Yeah, fantastic. Good sewing.
I loved this, and it's not because it had leopard print on it.
Really?
thought this was, you know what my favorite bit about it was, is when she stitched it all up and she went, it's a bit Pat Butcher. I just, that made me smile so much. I mean, I was getting more Cat Slater from it than Pat Butcher.
Yeah, definitely.
But it was, oh, it just made me smile when she said that, because I was just like, yep, I could see someone walking around on EastEnders wearing that. Oh, it just, it made me smile. I mean, Pat Butcher and Cat Slater are fashion icons of mine. yeah, gaudy jewellery and leopard print. I mean, what couldn't you love about that? But yeah, I just thought this was beautiful. She did really well. And I love the fact that she used that one, the one duffel coat button at the top, at the neckline. I just thought it looked stunning. It was really, really good.
Yeah, let's big round of applause there for Annie. That was really great. Moving on to first place, we've got Manu, who had produced, it was like a wine colour coat. It was super well made. It was quite clever cutting and recombining the way that she did. Like, I don't know how she got that geometry around in her head and managed to do that, because she kind of created almost like a square front from one jacket and sewn it into the other jacket, and it looked seamless and it was like it was supposed to be there. She'd added the ribbon on, which Patrick really liked because he said it balanced it out. For me personally, it was giving me kind of house coat vibes, a little bit old lady vibes. So
okay.
I probably would have switched Manu and Annie's positions round, but Manu's looked impeccably sewn. Like, the construction of it looked amazing. It didn't look like a transformation challenge. It looked like a made-to-measure or something. The actual construction looked superb. So maybe that's why she came first. What did you think about the coat?
The one thing that made me happiest most about this was the fact that Manu bounced back, because I was a little bit worried, seeing how, like, last week Steve wasn't doing too well, then he pulled it back, then Richie went home. I was a little bit worried that Manu was going to be in Richie's shoes this time and Steve was going to bounce back and that was it, Manu was going to be gone forever. So I was so proud of her for bouncing back. I really, really liked this. I thought it was incredibly clever. I loved the fact that she kind of combined that that pink pattern with the red kind of quilted material. I thought it looked so good. And when she went to the haberdashery bit, I was a bit like, oh God, please don't, please don't, please don't, please don't, please don't. I was just, because she seemed to be in that panic at that time, I was going, oh my God, she's going to get like the sequined fringing out in a minute and sew it on, and I was getting really panicky. And when she just got that little ribbon out and just attached it to the end, I was like, oh my God, like, someone's finally listened. Like, it's like, you should never go food shopping when you're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Never ever go to the haberdashery section in a panic, because you're gonna pick something out that you really did not need. I really liked it. I thought this was really good. And I was just happy to see her in first place.
Yeah, that, I mean, she really, it was great for her to kind of turn things around, to go from eighth in the first challenge to first in the second challenge. I think Brogan was having a really good week. Manu kind of saved herself. Steve was, you know,
hovering
in the danger zone again for the second week. And then you add a couple of other people who'd kind of gone from top of the table to the bottom with kind of Marnie and Deborah. So it was a bit of a roller coaster of an episode with rankings.
It was. And I would like to do a little shout out myself,
mm-hmm,
to Christian's coat, the way he combined that tartan with that Aztec-y kind of wool fabric, I thought was absolutely beautiful. I just thought that was so cleverly done. And I do feel like he should have been a bit higher.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, because I thought it was genius to put those two together. Again, I probably wouldn't have grabbed those two and put them together, but they went really well. And I think he was tapping into something that's kind of going on at the moment with fashion, where there's kind of a look at kind of ethnic crafts and handmade, and really kind of looking at indigenous tribes. And you're seeing a lot of high-end fashion brands giving nods to, you know, the Aztecs and the Mexican ancestors and stuff. And I just thought it was really clever how he'd done that, and the collar as well made it look quite high, I thought. So yeah, definitely good shout out to Christian.
But I mean, before we move on to the made to measure, can I just talk about my favorite bit of this whole challenge?
Yeah,
And
what was it?
it just made me giggle, was the look on Annie's face when Patrick pulled that cover away and revealed the coat. I don't think I've ever seen someone look that terrified on Sewing Bee before. It just made me smile, and I managed to get a screenshot of it because it just made me chuckle. I am sorry, Annie, but they caught you at the worst moment on Sewing Bee because you looked like you were about to drop dead at that second. You looked terrified. So yeah, I might put up the picture later on our Instagram. There's no beef, there's no trolling. I just It was one of those moments I could really, really relate to Annie in that second. It's the amount of times I've seen challenges and gone, oh God, like, I'm so glad I'm not there right now. But yeah, Annie, I just felt so bad that they panned around you at that moment because you looked terrified.
I have a very expressive face, and I think I would have been very much like Annie and pulling all sorts of faces. Have you got a poker face, or would you be pulling faces as well?
It depends, but where I work in a hospital and I'm always wearing a face mask, I found that I can be really deadpan in the eyes. Deadpan's not the right word. That just makes me sound like I'm walking around with a blank facial expression. But I can kind of keep that poker face, but underneath the mask, that is where all the expression is. And I'm dreading the day that they take face masks away from us in a hospital. I am going to Valentina and ask to keep it on, please.
Oh.
I am dreading it because I mumble so much under my mask at the moment, particularly when a colleague's annoying me, that I'm just like, oh God, when they take that away, I'm going to have to retrain my face to work in sync with each other. It's like, but yeah, no, I have to admit, I would probably be one of those that gets caught pulling faces or looking terrified or staring blankly into the distance because I just can't work something out. And or Esme's asked me to do some weird edge with bias binding, and I can't even work out how to tie my own shoes.
Finally, talking about Patrick and Esme, I was thinking that when I was watching this episode, I wonder what they do during the transformation challenge. Do they go off and have a cup of tea and a bit of a natter? Because I would love to see those conversations if they did like a Sewing Bee Unpicked, and we could see those two having a bit of a chat.
Yeah, I never really thought about it. But yeah, I do wonder. I imagine Esme just goes down to the pub. Just goes for a pint, it comes back, and that's why she's smiling when she walks into the workroom again.
She's
It's
half cut
like,
on the third
and then
challenge.
she just sees some of the transformation and goes, oh God, here we go, I'm sobered up now. It's
Oh, I'd love that to be true. I'd love a little tipsy Esme to pop back in for the judging.
Yeah, and I imagine she's a pint person. I don't imagine she's a little G&T. I imagine she likes a full pint.
Like a pint of stout or something.
Yeah, she goes hardcore.
Oh, I want to see. So I want to see Esme with like a pint of Guinness. That's now on my bucket list.
Yeah, I think we have to make that happen.
Right. So moving on to the final challenge, we have the made to measure challenge, which was to produce a maxi dress using an old duvet cover, and they had 5 hours. Now, I thought this was a really great challenge because it's one of those things that everybody has old duvets in their airing cupboard. I mean, I've got literally probably about 20, because we kept going through a period where every time we were in IKEA, I'd see like one on offer and I'd be like, oh, let's treat ourselves to a new duvet cover. And then we'd use them for, you know, 6 months or whatever, and then washing them in between. And then they'd get kind of folded up and put away, and we'd use a new one. And I've got loads.
Yeah. I am trying to be really, really strict with myself, because I went through a phase of, like, when I worked for a supermarket that rhymes with Misco's, when I had my staff discount and I'd see a duvet set, I was like, oh, I'll buy that. That's really nice. And I had the most random collection of duvet covers that didn't even match my room or match anything else in there. And then I'd find another one and then another one. And then they just piled up. So now I'm being really, really strict with myself. I'm also treating myself to better quality ones. Not saying that they weren't good quality, but they were quite a heavy polyester mix. I'm quite strict with myself that if I'm going to buy a duvet cover, it is a certain material and it meets certain criteria. So that way I'm not going overboard anymore. So, yeah, I thought this was genius. It made me very happy, because as a duvet connoisseur garment maker, I just thought this was brilliant. So much fabric. And, I mean, they're probably one of the things that TK binned quite a lot, because, I mean, I know you can sell them, but do you really want to buy someone secondhand?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Project.
I wouldn't be that keen on buying someone's old duvet.
No,
to be honest. I now am using up some of the old ones when I'm testing a pattern for the first time to test for fit. If I'm not sure about the pattern, I'm using the old duvet to make like a twirl up, and just kind of making the pattern really quickly, maybe not cutting out all the parts and certainly not finishing all the edges off properly, but then making it up and then putting it on, and then you can kind of tweak the pattern a little bit and go, okay, I need a dart here, or I need to bring the sides in or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's another good use of old duvets, because you do get a lot of fabric there. Yeah,
you really do. And actually, especially if you're getting like a king size or a double, you're actually probably getting more width-wise than you would do going to a shop and buying the fabric.
Yeah, exactly. Good point.
Especially printed fabrics, because a lot of the time printed fabrics come out a maximum of 1.5 meters. And if you've got a king size or even a super king duvet, you've nearly got double that to work with. And there's a lot to, and also get fabric out of landfills, reduce, reuse, recycle, use up those materials. Like, make yourself something really amazing with it.
Yeah, I've just started making a little dress for my sister from a duvet that she'd bought, actually, from a supermarket. And it's got like an Euler Keely print on it, and it's going to be super cute with contrast patch pockets.
Nice. I have got a duvet that I'm using up, and I loved it. But it started to fray in colour, so I thought, I'm going to make myself, so one side I'm using to make myself another kimono, but I'm going to do a little contrast print with some leopard print that a certain someone bought me, because I just thought it's a really nice black. It's black, but when you look at it, there is a print to it, but it's not massively obvious until you're up close. So I thought that'd be quite nice with contrasting prints. And I might even attempt to make myself a shirt out of it, because it's such a beautiful material.
Oh, well, Sean, we will need to see the... Yeah. And so we'll need photographic print proof when you've done this.
Definitely. Right.
We should probably start talking about how they got on.
Let's talk about other people sewing now, shall we?
So, starting alphabetically, we've got Angela first. Now, she had got a duvet from a charity shop for £3.50, which I thought is really good value.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of the charity shops around by me have got duvet sets for £3.50.
Yeah, no, that was a very, very good buy. And again, Reduce, reuse, recycle. Okay, it wasn't her duvet, but she bought one that's aided a charity and it's got fabric out of a landfill.
Exactly.
She already gets brownie points from me.
It was kind of like a greeny blue with pink panels. It was, and she bought little flower buttons, which she got from the charity shop as well, which I always think is great. Whenever I go into a charity shop, which is fairly often, I always have a bit of a dig around, and they usually have like a little basket or a little box where they've got things like buttons and zips. And it's always good because you can find stuff that you wouldn't normally find at maybe, you know, haberdasheries online.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought this was very, very cute. It was very summery. Yeah, I think she did really, really good on this. I really, really like this one. Yeah, props to Angela. I thought this was beautiful.
Yeah, the only issue I really thought was it was ever so slightly too long for the model, and she just didn't get the last button. But apart from that, I thought it was a cute dress. So, moving on to Annie, who had used a dark green floral duvet. And then...
Was it? I thought it was black.
What?
I thought it was black with daisies on.
Yeah, I thought it was just really, really, really dark green. I thought it was like, you know, almost like a racing green, but darker.
Yeah. No, I think it was black, my dear. I think it was black.
Okay, I have to have a poll.
We might be wrong. I might have to rewatch it again. But
I am colorblind as well, but we might have to have a little poll on this and see if you thought it was black and if it was green.
Oh, God, it's going to be that blue gold dress all over, isn't it? Oh, God, Annie, what have you done?
I thought it was really classy. I loved that she had inserted the lace into the dress. I thought it added like a little sexy extra element to the dress. It was a shame the bust arts were a bit too high, that they were coming over where the bust was, but I thought it was a really elegant and sexy maxi dress.
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. I loved those lace inserts that she did. I love the fact that she had taken inspiration from 70s kind of maxi dress. Oh, it was just beautiful. It was, I mean, I could see Annie rocking that at a festival or a night out, going out for dinner. I just thought that was absolutely stunning, stunning work.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I could definitely see a lot of women wearing that in an evening, wearing it out for dinner, like on holiday. It just was so elegant. I really loved it. Moving on to Brogan. Now, I have written OMG. First of all, I've got to say it was impeccably sewn. Like, the thing was incredible. There was so much work that got into that. For me personally, this was a little bit too Nana. It was my cup of tea. I thought that it was kind of the print, which was a real 1970s floral duvet. I thought the print was so ugly that it was almost genius, but it was just a bit too Nana for me.
My main thing that I wrote about it was I loved and hated it at the same time.
Yeah.
I loved it for its geniusness, the impeccable sewing, but I hated it for the print and the very Nana-esque. Yeah, it was a really confusing one. I was like, I love it and hate it at the same time. Sort of like my relationship with ice cream. I love the taste of it. I hate how fat it makes me. It's like, I love ice cream and hate it all at the same time. But yeah, it was so impeccably sewn and it was genius. And I loved that everything was very authentic, but I just hated it at the same time. And it was possibly one of the few times that I've watched Sewing Bee and I just didn't know my own emotions about something. I felt so confused about it because, yeah, it was impeccably sewn, but I just did not like it, but I loved it at the same time.
Yeah, it was really confusing. I think that massive collar wasn't helping me.
It wasn't, but at the same time, I loved it. It was so ugly that I hated it and loved it at the same time because it was beautiful and ugly all in one.
Oh, right, moving away from the confusing Maxi to Christian, who had produced a very floaty maxi dress, which was purple and turquoise and cream, and it was originally a gift from his dad to his mum, and it's come from India. And I thought it was really nice. I thought it was elegant, and it was an attractive shape for a maxi dress, I thought.
This was one of my favourites. I absolutely love this. I hope he told his mum that he was going to. It sounded like that duvet cover had a bit of sentimental value behind it. So I hope he got permission from his mum. Otherwise, she's just found out that her favourite duvet is not in the airing cupboard anymore. But I got real Esmeralda vibes from Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
And that was just the moment I got that vibe from it. I was like, oh, I love this. I just thought it was beautiful. I loved the print. I loved the cut. I think he made that dress so impeccably well. Yeah, and then when he realised that it was too long, because he then used the pillowcases to extend the dress and then made a flounce at the end of it just to give it that extra length, I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, I just love now, you've said that, the image of his mum sitting down to watch Sewing Bee, being like, oh, you've got to watch because Christian's on. And then she gets to challenge three and she's like, wait, that's my bedding. What's he doing? He's cutting up my bedding.
The image that I had was her popping out to make herself a cuppa, coming back when all of the, they're coming down the catwalk going, oh, that looks familiar. So, that looks really familiar. I think I've got something upstairs like it. And then going, oh, thanks, Christian.
Let's hope he didn't get in too much trouble.
Yeah. Yes, I hope he got permission.
So next up, we've got Deborah, who had produced a, it was almost like two maxi dresses, because it was like it was leopard print, but then over the top, it had kind of an off-white, another maxi dress, which she'd sewn on orange cord, which actually looked really difficult, and was a really pow in your face detail. And I thought it was nice. I thought it looked well done.
I really love this one. Yes, it's another leopard print. Yes, I am that person who will always just love a bit of leopard print, but I will surprise you later down the line. I thought this was really, really beautiful, and I love the fact that it was just that really simple black and white tone, and then it just had that really bright, vivid cording going around it. I thought it was just a genius bit of something to add to it. I thought it made it really, really stand out. I was a little bit confused by the kind of two layers, because the bottom layer, when the model was walking, sort of looked like a pair of trousers. But yeah, I just thought this was beautiful. I thought she did a really good job sewing this together.
Yes, definitely. I totally agree. Yeah, I also thought that it kind of looked a bit like trousers. Maybe the way the cord was going down in that line, kind of gave it a look of trousers. So moving on to Jill next, who had produced a maxi dress where she had cut the front panels into chevron shapes, and it had a very dramatic cape open sleeve. And this was made from her stepkid's duvet cover that had been in the cupboard, I think she said, like 10 years.
Yeah.
I thought it had a lot of drama on the catwalk. It really moved and the sleeves opened up and it kind of wafted down the catwalk. Did you like it?
I thought this was utterly beautiful. And it was one of those, initially when I saw the print, I was a bit like, oh, I'm not too sure on this. And then even when they were talking to Jill about it, and she was like, yeah, because I've practiced it, but I've not been able to practice it in these fabrics because I've only got one of this. And if I practiced it, I would have to find something else. And it was one of those, I was a little bit like, oh, this could go wrong in so many ways. And it was stunning. I just have no words. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. It was impeccably sewn. Yeah, I loved this so much. I thought it was so good.
Yeah, it was a beautiful, yeah, beautiful dress, definitely. Marnie's up next, and she had produced a spotty, it was kind of like a spotty off-white fabric, and it had pink and navy trim detail, and I think it was inspired by an Ellie Saab dress she'd seen on a catwalk show. And when they showed the picture of it and the final garment, it really did have that nod to the original. Sometimes people say, oh, I was inspired by this, and you look at it and you're like, were you? But you could
where did you get that inspiration from? I don't remember them producing that, but I thought this was good. She gets brownie points for hand dyeing some of it as well. This was beautiful. I will just say, though, in this part of the episode, I have started to develop a little bit of beef with Marnie, with her comment of, I don't think I'd ever want to buy a leopard skin. That felt very targeted. That felt very pointed towards me, Marnie.
Did you feel attacked?
I felt very attacked. I might have to drop you from my top three for that.
I was hoping you weren't going to hear that. I myself have also got at least two sets of leopard print duvet covers. So, I mean, I was also felt very attacked.
I am currently sat on my bed tucked up in my leopard print duvet right now, recording this podcast. But did you notice the little clip where she said it and then they panned round to Deborah as she was sewing her leopard print dress and was like, oh my God, there's going to knowing be beef this year. This is going to be the most dramatic year ever because Marnie's, it was like the first episode where she talked about cockapoos. And then it was like, oh, probably shouldn't have said that. I was like, well, Marnie, just stop before you start a fight with someone. Just look around the room, assess your audience before you say something. Yeah, back to her sewing though, it was beautiful. It was really well done. The fit, the drape, everything was stunning. And yeah, I couldn't fault her for her sewing.
Yeah, I thought it was really fashionable. I don't know whether it needed the belt as well. I don't know if that took away from the trims. I wanted to see it without the belt and with the belt so I could kind of make my mind up, but I thought it was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I've accidentally put my contestants not quite in alphabetical order because we missed Manu, who should have come before Marnie. So
that's right. I did that as well because when I was doing my list, I put Annie in front of Angela and realised that Angela actually comes before Annie. Yeah. You're not the only one who's struggling with their alphabets.
We need to learn our alphabets.
Yeah. Yes, really do. All that sewing knowledge we've developed has kicked out the basics.
So, talking about Manu, we've got a navy peacock detailed dress. It was from a local charity shop, the fabric. It had frill detail, but unfortunately Manu ran out of time, so it was kind of missing a frill from, like, I think it was the second to the third tier.
Yeah.
Which was a shame because it looked like it was missing it.
Yeah. No, yeah. It definitely looked like it was missing it. I mean, the idea for this, the print, everything, that gave me goosebumps because I thought this was going to be so beautiful. But I think the hurdle that Manu struggled with the most was where she came quite low in the first challenge, that she felt like she needed to super step it up. And we all know she loves a made to measure. She loves to push herself. But I felt like she pushed herself a little bit too far because maybe her confidence was knocked a little bit by being put down in eighth place.
Yeah, probably. I think you're right, because she loves a difficult pattern or like a challenge. And yeah, maybe that did just kind of throw her a bit, and she maybe wasn't up to her normal kind of speed and, you know, getting down to it. But I thought the actual dress itself looked really nice.
It was beautiful. I think she freaked herself out and wanted to go that one step beyond that she would normally go for to prove her place. And actually, that risk didn't quite pay off.
Yeah, which was a shame. It was a shame. But luckily, she'd done so well in the transformation that had really saved her. So finally, we've got Steve, who had produced a multicolored and multi-sized leopard print dress, which I thought was really fun, and yet it still had an elegance to it. I thought the fit looked good to me. There was a little bit of a zip issue there, it not meeting up. But I thought generally the dress was really nice.
Yeah. As I said earlier that I was going to surprise everyone, this was my least favourite.
Really?
And when he showed the kind of psychedelic leopard print, I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be really, really good. And I was really looking forward to seeing it because I thought this is going to be another one where Steve really knocks it out on the made to measure. A couple of slight little issues, but he really shows that he deserves to be here. I just didn't like that big block of black fabric between the leopard prints. I just felt it was too much, and maybe had he shortened it so it was more around the bodice, I think that could have looked really, really elegant. But to me, it just looked really long and sort of elongated the model's body as well to a weird proportion. I mean, had he cut the bottom off, that would have made a really nice dress. I wasn't a fan on that section of it. So yeah, this is probably the first time I've seen a leopard print and gone, yeah. I mean, that it really hurts my soul to like not like a leopard print, because
I'm shook.
Looking at my clothing rail at the moment, I can already see 1, 2, 3, 4, about 8 leopard print garments that are hanging up on my clothing rail. But yeah, I just wasn't a huge fan on this one. I just didn't like that block section in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. Like, maybe he could have done something with that middle section so it wasn't such just a large expanse of black fabric. Yeah, I still liked it, but yeah, I see what you mean.
I liked it, but it was my least favourite out of the lot. And that's even including granny dress.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh my good. Let's not.
Yeah. Yeah, you know it's not good when I will pick the 70s print granny dress over something leopard print.
Oh, I need to lie down. I'm shaking.
Do you need a drink?
I need a stiff drink. Right. Well, yeah. That was the made to measure.
That so, it was.
Garment of the week went to Jill. Do you agree?
100%. 100%. And you know what I loved the most was that she was so surprised. And even when they were talking to her about it, she was still sort of in shock that she's won it. And I just love how modest she comes across when it comes to her sewing, that she was really unsure on that maxi dress. She wasn't too sure on it when it was going down the runway. Even when the judges were giving her really positive critique, she was still a little bit like, okay, not too sure. And hands down, I think had she not won, it should have been Christian.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That was a very nice dress. I've written, looking at my notes here, I've written down Garment of the Week, and I put Jill, and I put a tick, and then I put so shocked. Like, when they called her name, she was so shocked that it was her. And it's just, I really hope that going through this process really improves her confidence in her own makes, because she's incredibly skilled and
is super skilled.
To have Esme and Patrick say to you, your garment is garment of the week, that has got to really make you think, yeah, I can do this, I can sew. And yeah, it was just it was great. I really loved that point. And sadly, we had to say goodbye to Steve.
Yeah, bless him.
I mean, I think Steve, the last couple of weeks, I think Steve's days were kind of numbered, and I think it was starting to show that he didn't have the same experience that some of the other people in the room had. I mean, there's a few lockdown sewers there, but I think Steve was probably the least experienced out of all of those kind of lockdown sewers. So it was sad to see him go. It was really like Steve.
Yeah, I really, really liked Steve. He was funny. He had good banter. He gave good presents on the show. It's nice to see a straight guy sewing and being open about his sewing as well. It was sad to see him go. I really thought he could have gone quite far, but the challenges were just getting on top of him. The lack of experience wasn't helping. It's sad to see him go, but like he said, he was just happy that he made it that far. It'll be nice to see what he produces in the future. It'll be nice to see what he does.
Yeah, he's produced. I've been looking at his Instagram and he's produced some really amazing stuff. He's done a two-tone kind of like denim jacket, which I absolutely love. I think it's superb. Chef kiss. And now we've only got one boy left, Christian. So come on, Christian, you can't go because...
Yeah, you've got to do it for the boys.
Representing. And so next week, we've got Children's Week. How do you feel about Children's Week?
I mean, Children's Week used to scare me, but since my friend had her little girl, I've been sewing a lot more baby stuff, which is nice because it's so cheap to make because you don't need a lot of fabric. It's quite nice producing a garment and going, wow, I have a lot of fabric left over. But it could be interesting. I mean, they've got a mini sailor suit pattern. God, that would... I mean, I'm also having flashbacks of a sailor suit my mum dressed me up in. I think that would be quite a traumatic sewing challenge for me. It wouldn't be the pattern itself that makes me hide under the table. It would be the actual sailor outfit that made me hide under the table. A back-to-school transformation challenge. So God knows what that's going to be. They're probably going to get given like backpacks and told to make like an evening dress.
Oh my goodness.
And then a spooky made to measure. So we're bringing in a bit of Halloween in. So I imagine we will be gothing up some puff sleeves and some gingham. Sorry, Brogan.
I'm excited to see that. And before we go, before we sign off, our top three, has your top three changed?
No.
Me neither.
Marnie, Manny, Jill.
Mine is Marnie, Manny, Brogan.
Okay.
So
I can see Brogan getting there. There's just something about those three at the moment. But I will admit, Marnie is starting to creep out a little bit just because we haven't been doing as well in the recent episodes as we were at the start. So Brogan could start creeping in and Marnie could start creeping out.
Okay.
Also, she slagged off leopard print. So.
The real reason comes out.
Yeah, the real reason comes out at the end.
Right then. Well, we'd better sign off. And so that was a really great week. And it's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
Bye.